Benz, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Kilmar Abrego-Garcia is back in the U.S. after being deported to El Salvador and is now charged with transporting people who were in the U.S. illegally. CBS's Jake Rosen.
Given Abrego-Garcia's past here being and the government admitting to having wrongly removed him to El Salvador in the first place, it would be a potentially logical step for them to just move him to another country and kind of free their hands of this. Attorney General Pam Bondi said she intends on prosecuting him in Tennessee, convicting him in Tennessee, and if he is convicted, sentencing him to American prison time here in the States, and then that he would be deported to another country.
The search for an escaped inmate in northern Arkansas is over. Convicted killer Grant Hardin, a former police chief, has been on the run for nearly 2 weeks. KFSM-TV's Morgan Wrigley.
Azure County Sheriff's Office says he was captured 1.5 miles north-northwest of the prison. He was found by law enforcement near Moccasin Creek in Azure County. They say tracking dogs were able to pick up on his scent in the area there. They also added the officer's fingerprinted Hardin to confirm his identity.
Trump ally Steve Bannon tells CBS News that he wants the White House and the Trump administration to investigate alleged drug use by Elon Musk, as well as the South African native's immigration status. As for what President Trump had to say today about Musk, CBS's Torian Small reports.
So after a heated back and forth between the president and his former right hand and Elon Musk, former de facto leader of the Department of Government Efficiency, the president today has been pretty mum, saying in a gaggle on Air Force One as he headed to New Jersey that he hasn't thought about Elon Musk at all, instead focusing his mind and attention to other matters as the president.
The government says 139,000 jobs were added last month. CBS's Bradley Blackburn reports.
Major corporations, including tech giant Microsoft and consumer goods manufacturer Procter & Gamble, announced thousands of layoffs recently. Last month, the federal government shed 22,000 jobs after the Trump administration's cuts. However, many sectors are hiring, like the healthcare industry and hospitality, which includes restaurants and bars.
At Sean Diddy Combs' sex trafficking and racketeering trial, a recent ex-girlfriend of the music mogul cried while describing their drug-fueled sex marathons and says Combs ignored her when she signaled she wanted to stop. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
She's describing on the stand a pattern that she says went on for 3 years since they started dating up until and right before the time of his arrest, where she felt that she had no option but to satisfy her partner.
Combs has pleaded not guilty. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive. Protect your auto, home, and business with Progressive and get 24/7 coverage. See if you can save at progressive.com. That's progressive.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers face the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the San Diego Padres tonight at AmFam Field in Milwaukee. San Diego's Randy Vasquez against the Brewers right-hander Chad Patrick, who's 3-4 with an ERA of 2.97. Manager Pat Murphy.
Chad Patrick continues to show that he has the right stuff, meaning the right insides to pitch up here and pitch in big situations.
NBA, the Pacers with a last-second shot by Tyrese Halliburton beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 111-110 in Game 1 of the NBA Finals, Game 2 Sunday night. NFL, Aaron Rodgers agrees to a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he says he already knows the team's quarterback coach.
And the quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay in the offseason. The first offseason I ever did went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
The Steelers host the Packers Week 8 in Pittsburgh with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a couple of showers and storms and lows in the mid-50s. For the weekend, a mix of sun and clouds, still some storms possible, highs in the mid-70s. Only in the 60s Monday, breezy, cooler, and more rain possible. Currently, it's 66.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the show Young Sheldon, actor Lance Barber, and we'll talk about the amazing career and life of Michael J. Fox. We are going to light it like it's Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too. I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, we are in the midst of our statewide Text to Win Sconny Summer Contest. Coming up after 11 o'clock, you will hear Greg and I with a keyword.
Dan, you can't play.
Nope, Dan, you can't play.
I'm going to try. One of these weeks, I'm going to try.
You can give it a shot. You'll probably get tossed. But we will give you a keyword after 11 o'clock. You want to text that in via the Civic Media app. You are in the running for either $100 in cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. And you are in the running for grand prize, which includes a little summer getaway and gas to get you there. So be listening after 11 o'clock for that keyword. You do have to use the Civic Media app. It is our statewide Text to Win Sconny Summer Contest playing in the 7, 11, 2, and 4 p.m. hours. Right now, because it's Friday, he joins us every Friday at this time, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi award-winning Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is here. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. Doing well. Always wonderful to join you here on Matinair on Air.
Glad to have you with us. Let's start with the state budget. And we just can't agree on anything.
Yeah. Divided government.
Isn't that great?
This is the fourth trip around that we've had with crafting a budget in Tony Evers' time as governor in this era of divided government. And it doesn't seem like things have gotten any better throughout that time with Republicans who have constantly obstructed the governor at every turn over and over again. And here again, we have, I going into this, I wondered if we would have a little bit of a different process given the smaller margins in the Republican majorities in the Senate and in the Assembly. But it just doesn't seem like the Republicans ever want to budge because they have their one economic policy button that they want to push every time, which is a tax cut.
Yep.
And they don't seem to want to meet the governor, you know, in a reasonable middle ground to fund, particularly as the governor outlined in his press release on Wednesday evening, K-12 education, childcare, and the UW system.
Well, so we've talked about this on the show with you and with other people that this has been a slow road for the Republicans as far as like slowly having different ways chipping away at her power. Tony Evers coming in, fair maps, more Democrats winning seats in the Senate and the Assembly. And at every turn, instead of looking at them and saying, hey, might have to even hold our nose, but some of these things we're going to have to compromise on. Let's do it. Instead, they are holding on to their power however they can. And in ways that seem real petulant and childlike, too, whether it's changing committee assignments or lowering numbers of Democrats and doing things like this. And one of the things, Dan, is that you... people are saying, I hate saying that, but it's kind of the rumor from Republicans is that they can't get with Tony Evers. They can't have a conversation. He's not sitting down with them. And part of me thinks, one, I don't know if that's true because I just don't. I feel like Tony Evers, when it comes to the budget, and especially in such a education-heavy budget that he wants to pass, he's going to want to have those sit-downs. But also, if you're Tony Evers and you present a budget and they strip out 612 items and their Joint Finance Committee tour is a joke, why is he incentivized to have any sort of discussion with them at all?
Well, because they're still in the majority.
Right? I mean,
they're still in the majority in the Senate and the Assembly. And I think, you know, I think the Senate in particular is the one to watch here. I think Voss typically gets his caucus in line in the Assembly. I think LeMahieu has been a little bit less adept at that in the Senate. And I think, you know, there's been like the super hardliners, like there's Steve Nass from Whitewater area, I believe. He's already said he's just like, let's not even pass a budget if this is what we're going to do.
Oh, let's just not do it.
So there's one Republican vote that they're going to lose on that. If they lose a couple more, like these margins are going to matter. And yeah. I think with the Senate that, you know, there's only half of the Senate has been on the ballot under new maps. So there are. At least there are three state senators who have not been on the ballot under new maps that are in districts won by Kamala Harris. So you would think that Howard Marklein, being one of those, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, and a couple of the others, Rob Hutton in western Milwaukee area suburbs and Van Wangard in Racine County and southern Milwaukee County. Yeah. You think maybe some of these vulnerable senators might say, hey, we need to actually pass a deal here. Or else we're going to lose our majority in 2 years. So, you know, I think as dug in as Republicans are on this and have been on budget items so often over the years, like they're going to have to budge on this or they're going to lose the majority. Those are the stakes right now for them.
I would love to believe that, but after seeing the results of the four Joint Finance Committee meetings that they held around the state for hours and hours and hours, and the top three things that people, constituents brought up to them, again, were child care and health care and education, and they ignored all of it. So mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying about what the numbers imply, but they seem so dug. It's like, we don't care. We don't care what the people want. We don't care what the constituents want. We know what we want, and we're going to do that regardless.
And I don't know about Marklein and the other gentleman you just mentioned from Western Milwaukee, but Van Wongard ain't doing anything to keep. He'll do whatever he's told to do. That's just mm-hmm. the fact that he has lasted in that seat for as long as he has, and he doesn't. You tell him where to go, he goes. That's it.
Yeah, I know you've got a lot to say on State Senator Wongard.
I do, but I will reserve that for another time. But it goes to the point, Dana, what you were just saying is they're not thinking strategically on this matter. I mean, they could have the next election and they might retain the Senate, but they better work for that. Those guys better knock on some doors and make some phone calls because it's not going to be the same. And those areas that you're talking about, Dan, they have slowly gone more blue over time. And if you get a charismatic character in there to run against them, it might not go the way they like.
Don't you feel, though? I feel like they're so insulated and they don't hear criticisms. They're not hearing criticisms. They're not hearing. I just think they are so in their own bubble. They don't feel like they have to do any compromises at all.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I think they've been, you know, drunk on gerrymandering
for so many years
that they haven't had to really, you know, work things out and compromise in any way. And so I wonder, too, if we reach a point in this budget process and we're already late, you know, this is already moving more slowly than it does in typical years. And so if the Republicans are going to go off and say, OK, we're not going to strike a deal, we're going to pass our own budget. Should Tony Evers say, hey, I'm going to veto the whole thing this time if you guys don't include, let's say, Medicaid expansion, if you guys don't include funding for childcare, if you guys don't include anything for K-12, I'm vetoing your entire tax cut or whatever other priorities you want to do. I think Evers has an opportunity to be a little bit more hardline with this. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, and Tony Evers did kind of give a little bit on tax cuts, is my understanding, the last time they talked about this, and then the Republicans rejected it anyway.
Yeah, because I think Evers wanted them to step up on K-12, on childcare, on higher education, and they didn't meet what he was looking for. Like, Evers was clearly ready to come to the table. From what, you know, in that press release, there was no mention of, you know, Medicaid expansion or other healthcare items, like, or the postpartum Medicaid expansion that I know you guys have talked about a lot on this show and elsewhere. Like, I don't think that was in the deal as outlined by Evers in that press release either. And then I saw a clip, you know, up front on WISN, they put out the clips before the Sunday show. They have a clip of Robin Voss saying that Tony Evers is lying in that press release. And yeah, they had a clip of Robin Voss saying that, like, oh, it wasn't zero. You know, it wasn't zero that we came to the table with on K-12 childcare and higher education. Well, clearly you didn't do enough. Like, if the governor's ready to come there and basically pass your tax cut, how do you do nothing? We have a $4 billion surplus. The money is there.
Yeah.
The deal is there.
Well, when it comes to Robin Voss, this is the same man who was touting, they did the biggest education investment in a generation. Yeah, because you've been suffocating it for a generation. So really, right, anything better than nothing is a win for him. But also, going back to your original question about whether or not Tony Evers should just veto the entire thing, honestly, whether he decides to run or he decides not to run, I think it's a win for him to do that, because he comes out looking strong and for the people of Wisconsin. But the most important thing to it is, if he decides to veto that whole thing, he has got to get on every talk show after that and talk about this, touting the win and explaining why he did it. Because that's the one thing he has not done well. He has not touted victories. He has not gone on there and done what politicians need to do, which is, you know, say, hey, I did this for you, John Q. Public. So I think he looks strong either way as a way of saying, I'm going to run again. And this is why, because of this kind of budget activity, I think I can help. And if he's not going to run again, it's like, I'm out, peace. And we're going to do this the right way. But either way, mm-hmm, he's got to have a messaging plan to go along with it.
Well, and I don't know that you know this offhand, Dan. And by the way, Dan Schaefer is our guest, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. He joins us every Friday. I don't know if you know this offhand, but if you want a little indicator of the pettiness of the Republicans, how many of Governor Evers' board appointees are they still sitting on? Aren't there over 100? There's still over 100.
I don't even know at this point, because it was such a big story, and I just don't remember if the Senate actually ever came to the table. But it was, like, at one point, I think it was almost 200 at one point. So
some crazy amount of the governor is within his rights to place these people. These are his appointees on these boards, and the Republicans won't even give him that. So if you don't think they're petty, just look at that. I think that's a pretty good petty indicator.
Oh, they're extraordinarily petty.
Right?
They're Tom Petty. Right?
They out-petty Tom Petty.
According to this cursory search, as of January 2023, 180 appointees remain unconfirmed by the Senate. This includes 5 cabinet members serving as secretary designees.
Yeah, and the Republicans have essentially said, we're not even going to give these people hearings.
Yeah.
It's absurd. It's just absurd.
But it's totally on brand, Jane. I mean, this is just a carbon copy of what the U.S. Senate did to Barack Obama when there was a Supreme Court justice to be filled.
Right.
They're like, no, it's too, that election's 9 months away. We're too close. So this is the same old garbage, garbage in, garbage out with them. And frankly, I know you're right, Dan. It is important for him to sit down with them because they are the majority. But also, I understand why Tony Evers might just be like, I'm not talking to you guys. Talk to him. I have nothing to say.
Well, and the other thing that made me laugh was when that article came out about how we can't come to an agreement. The Republicans were saying, oh, we were having really friendly conversations up until this point. Were you really? Yeah. Really? Was it that friendly?
They were characterizing them as good faith negotiations.
Yes, that's right?
That was the phrase that they were using. I didn't notice it. I did think it was kind of interesting. And I don't know if this is like a little bit inside baseball-y, but I thought it was interesting that Evers put out his statement, you know, kind of summing up his whole position there. And then there was a statement from Assembly Democrats. There was a statement from Senate Democrats. And then there was a statement from the Joint Finance Committee co-chairs. So it does seem like there is some sort of breakdown to a certain extent within the Republican side of things. I don't know if like Assembly and Senate and wherever else are all on the same page with what their priorities are in the budget, with what they want out of a negotiation with Evers. I do think it was kind of interesting that it wasn't like a cohesive statement there.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer on the other side. Fight, 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 fight.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the Board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're joined by Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and also creator of the multi award-winning Recombobulation Area. We haven't talked about this yet this morning, Dan. We were saving it for you. But if you were, I don't know, anywhere on the internet yesterday, you might have heard about this little spat between formerly two best buddies. They were the president and the co-president, Donald Trump and Elon Musk, not so buddy-buddy anymore.
What a day to be terminally online, right? Yeah. Like that was, oh my goodness, just the back and forth between Elon Musk and Donald Trump on Twitter yesterday, escalating into Epstein accusations
yes.
and all sorts of other stuff. You know, at a certain point, you just got to sit back and pop the popcorn and watch the craziness unfold. But I did enjoy that quite a bit. Not gonna lie.
When you think about it, too, like in a day where the president was sitting down with the world leaders of France, Germany, and England, and France and England were like criticizing and making fun of him to his face in a way that Trump didn't really understand. And then he makes that horrible statement to the Chancellor of Germany about D-Day while laughing. That would have been yesterday like the end all be all. It got buried by this Twitter fight. I'm sorry, Truth Social, socialing all over the truthiness. But yes, I mean, I saw that come through and I had to make sure, I had to go to Elon's Twitter account because I wanted to make sure it was real. And then I immediately screenshot it and sent it to Jane. And I was like, what is going on right now?
It was crazy. It just exploded yesterday. Now, Elon Musk, of course, coming out and saying the budget is going to increase the deficit, which the CBO has said and numerous other organizations have said that, yes, this is going to explode the deficit.
Yeah.
And now we don't know where we are.
Yeah.
Now we don't know where we are. As of today, President Trump says he has no plans to talk to Elon. Elon, I'm seeing on other places reporting that he's realizing the error of his ways. But one person I knew we could count on him to capitulate is Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson, who, of course, said nothing short of trillions of dollars of more spending cuts in this budget bill. Not going to vote for it. Rojo, super strong on this. Oops, here we go. He had a private conversation with the president and a White House meeting. And now Ron Johnson capitulating. Quote, one thing I came away from the White House meeting is, I know I've been out there not sounding the most positive about things. The truth is there are a lot of positive things in this bill. I absolutely support whatever we pass. I want it to succeed. We left shaking hands and smiling at each other. Mr. President, I want to be more positive and I'll try to be more positive, unquote, said Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson.
Now, I have a question for you, Dan, because, as you said, we're terminally online. We're addicted to the news. And anybody who slights the president gets attention, whether it's on Twitter, Truth Social, or wherever. Mm-hmm. Ron Johnson has been critiquing this bill for a few weeks now, a while. Mm-hmm. And it's really, he's kind of stayed away from the ire of not only Trump, but like the Trump loyal. No one's been calling for his head or impeach him, recall him. He's really kind of flown under the radar while completely criticizing this bill that's in the Senate right now. Do you have any theories on why this is happening?
You know, I think we have to look back to the last time that Ron Johnson was in a similar situation in the 2017 negotiations over the Trump tax cut bill. He pushed for this additional tax cut for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, the businesses that have the U-lines that have his biggest political donors.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there is always some sort of end game with Johnson. So I do think that's what we should be looking at. But he, you know, over and over again, he has talked about, you know, wanting to that this wants to make certain he's kind of like the opposite of what, you know, our criticisms of the bill are, right? We say that this bill is wrong to cut Medicaid, wrong to do all those things. He thinks it doesn't cut enough.
Yeah.
And I think he has really probably been more in agreement with Elon, although it does seem like he got a little bit of a talking to from the principal yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Got sent sit to down. The office.
Do you think he was just sitting in his chair outside the Oval going, oh, man, I'm in trouble.
Lori from Shawano is on the line. Lori, we got about 90 seconds left. What did you want to say? And by the way, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. That whole spat between the lovers, this dog fight between the two pit bulls. Elon Musk said that it was going to be painful 2 years, and now he's feeling the pain. Tesla went down over 14%, but now today it's back up. Yep. So how does that happen? How does it come back up so fast when he's alienated all of his customer base? It's like with the jobs report. Last month there was like 87 jobs projected, and then the next day, it's 150. So I heard that unemployment was up, but now they're saying 139 jobs, more than what they thought was added. Where are these numbers coming from? Are they just coming out of Taco's butt?
That's a really good question, Lori. We will look into that.
Well, we won't look into it.
Well, not
it,
into
yeah.
that necessarily, but we will. We'll see what we can find out. Thank you so much, Lori. Really appreciate it. We got news coming up next. We're going to continue with Dan Schaefer on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can listen in New Zealand if you have the app, the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Kilmar Abrego Garcia has been ordered to remain in custody after being indicted on migrant smuggling charges. He was returned to the U.S. from El Salvador today. Family friend Reverend Michael Vanacore tells the BBC Abrego Garcia is innocent.
The administration acts like just because they say that he's a criminal, he is a criminal. I have always believed him and anyone who knows him and knows his community to be completely innocent, a hardworking and good family man.
Former small-town Arkansas Police Chief Grant Hardin's been captured after he escaped from prison 2 weeks ago. CBS's Ian Lee says local police got federal help.
Special team from the Border Patrol that specializes in searches like this. They came in to help out. They had dogs that were able to pick up the scent of Hardin.
President Trump says his feud with Elon Musk isn't occupying any of his time.
I've been so busy working on China, working on Russia, working on Iran, working on so many that I'm not thinking about Elon.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Crew.
The Brewers face the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the San Diego Padres tonight at AmFam Field in Milwaukee. San Diego's Randy Vasquez against the Brewers right-hander Chad Patrick, who's 3-4 with an ERA of 2.97. Manager Pat Murphy.
Chad Patrick continues to show that he has the right stuff, meaning the right insides to pitch up here and pitch in big situations.
NBA, the Pacers with a last-second shot by Tyrese Halliburton beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 111-110 in Game 1 of the NBA Finals, Game 2 Sunday night. NFL, Aaron Rodgers agrees to a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he says he already knows the team's quarterback coach.
And the quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay in the offseason. The first offseason I ever did went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
The Steelers host the Packers Week 8 in Pittsburgh with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Not sure if Steve Carell has big feet, but his shoes will be tough to fill. No one knows that more than Domhnall Gleeson, who will play the boss on a new spinoff of NBC's The Office. The Paper will feature the same documentary film crew from The Office, even though it was never really featured, as they record the daily happenings of a dying local newspaper, and it will be brought to you by the same team that brought you the American version of The Office. Gleeson, the son of actor Brendan Gleeson, knows the challenges he faces. The actor said he recently received encouraging words from Carell's Office co-star, John Krasinski, who reassured the actor that he was in great hands with executive producer Greg Daniels. Daniels successfully rebooted Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant's show of the same title from the UK. Although the title is different, the challenges faced in The Paper are the same faced by those who ran a fictitious paper company. There is no release date yet, but The Paper will premiere in September on Peacock. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, couple of showers and storms and lows in the mid-50s. For the weekend, a mix of sun and clouds, still some storms possible, highs in the mid-70s. Only in the 60s Monday, breezy, cooler, and more rain possible. Currently, it's 66.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses, and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. State Senator Kelda Royce will be here with our weekly Joint Finance Committee update, as well as headlines from Wisconsin Watch. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will wrap up the show. As we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, today it is the Shrinky Dink Edition. I just like saying that, Shrinky Dink. Shrinky Dink Edition coming up.
What is it again, Jane?
Shrinky Dink Edition.
There it is.
Of Tisbet coming up around 10:52 or so. Also, Maggie Dawn later on today from 4 to 6 p.m. She's going to be talking with our very own civic media's Greg Gunderson. What's good, local, and overlooked, where they highlight things that might be going on in your neighborhood. And then also at 5:30 today, I love this segment, Ask Maggie, where you can ask her anything.
Yeah.
And she will answer you, whether you want to hear it or not.
There it is.
That's what we love about Maggie. So ask Maggie today at 5:30. Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 p.m. Right now, Dan Schaefer.
There may or may not be an appearance from yours truly on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Are you going to be on this afternoon?
Well, so stay tuned. Yes.
Check that out. What time are you going to be on the show?
I believe I'm on at 5 o'clock.
All right. Join Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Right now, this is a segment that we like to call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up a little bit, take a break away from politics. Although everything can be political these days, I guess. But the wakeboarding controversy. I'm not sure, Dan, if you were aware of this. But there have been a whole bunch of letters to the editor in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about wakeboarding. Now, I don't
Tell me more about this.
Okay,
one.
So I don't live on a lake. I don't know anyone who has this issue. But so here's the debate about wakeboarding. Wake enhanced boating uses ballast tanks to create great big waves for surfing and tubing. But this has raised concerns about shoreline erosion, damage to lake beds, and invasive species. So the question that the Journal Sentinel posed was, should wake-enhanced boats be regulated differently than other powerboat activities like skiing? So apparently, again, and correct me if I'm wrong, 855-752-4842, these wake boats drive a little more slowly, create these big waves, so you can surf over them and stuff. But the issue is the erosion along the lakeshore as these waves come slapping up against the land.
And it's not like the speed of the boat, right?
It's not generating
like larger
wakes.
So
again, that's making bigger waves.
Yeah.
And this is causing problems with erosion on some of our lakes. So lots of hot. It's interesting how hot people get about stuff like this. I was surprised.
Oh, I mean, well, one, people are going to get upset about anything nowadays. You say anything. Like, I like mayonnaise with my fries. How dare you? You are an American, sir. It's catsup or nothing. But I think when you start to delve into one of the great aspects of Wisconsin, which is summer times at the cabin, at the lake, and you start to mess with that aspect of their being, I'm not surprised at all that people are going to lose their fluffing minds.
Here are some of the comments from some of the letters to the editor talking about wakeboarding, and we would love to hear from you at 855-752-4842. Should wake boats be regulated differently? And is this an issue where you are? This one letter, Tim from Rhinelander says, I'm a lake resident in northern Wisconsin. Crescent Lake, our lake is too small and shallow for wake surfing. Our shoreline is suffering damage as 2 to 4 foot waves crash our shore from a neighbor's wake boat. Another one, Gunner from St. Germain says, I've been around all types of boats my whole life. I have come to find everyone feels like they are the one the lake is for.
What does that mean?
Everybody who has their own type of boating or their own type of activity.
Yeah.
That's
the king of the lake.
They're the king of the lake. My activity should trump all other activities on said lake.
Well, and I think that those who are pro wake machines, I guess, whatever you call them, wake boats, are going to think, and they're going to say, don't worry about it. Stop it. We're just having a good time. Why do you guys have to ruin, that sort of mentality, which is very king-like mentality of, I don't have to worry about what you think. I like what I like, and what I like is great. So get off my back, freedom.
And there's some of those letters in there, said in so beautifully and concisely as you might have,
good words.
Have said it. But
thank you.
Yes, there are some of those. Great Gary from Winchester. I live on a chain where the town and the residents voted to ban wake surfing on the lakes. Erosion isn't the biggest issue. The safety of other lake users and bottom scouring as a result is an issue, and the ballast tanks are potential transporters of invasive species from lake to lake. So again, if you get zebra mussels or something on, if you go in one lake and then you go into another lake and they're concerned that that's going to transfer and then get into that ecosystem and cause problems.
Dan, when you take your boat out.
I feel like I got to try this out to just see how fun it is, because then who cares about the zebra mussels, right? If it's really a lot of fun,
You can just write that off.
Yes.
There are some serious...
I just want to see if it's fun. Then it's maybe worth it. I need to make some boat friends this summer.
Yes. Really.
Everyone needs a boat friend.
This time of year, I'm like looking at, making my summer plans. Kids are finishing up with schools. I never really make it a priority, but I really need to make it a priority to make more boat friends this summer.
I think that's a good goal.
So if you have a boat, I am. You can invite me out, and I'll come check
anytime
out the wake boating.
Two words, three syllables. Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, there we go.
Now it's a pontoon boat.
Pontoon works.
That is the only piece of. And I want to say because I love that they have it, but like as far as a spending, like I would never buy a motorcycle. I would never buy a sports car. I don't think I'd buy an RV. But if I had the money, I would buy a pontoon boat. That is, a floating living room. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Nice and relaxing.
Yes.
Nice and relaxing.
Love a pontoon boat.
Yeah.
Talking about the wake boat controversy in Wisconsin, if you'd like to chime in on this, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, asking folks about this issue and some really hot letters coming in. Lori writes in, my family enjoys this type of boating better than tubing or water skiing. It's a slower way to boat and have fun surfing the wake. It's better than water skiing and tubing. It's not as loud and the boats are going slower, so they're safer for the person behind the boat. One thing though, Lori is from Illinois, so I almost think that we have to throw
rejected
that one out, right?
Asterisk. Asterisk on all comments.
Mike from Green Bay listening on WGBW texted in, as a general rule, wake boats are really bad for small lakes. They do a ton of damage to the shoreline as well as docked boats and equipment. They also do harm in some cases, even kill wildlife, especially shore nesting birds. Now, what's interesting about Lori's letter is she's talking about all the fun and memories. Now, I would love to see someone say to Lori, but here are the ecological impacts of it all. What do you think? And I think, Dan, to your point, what you're saying is it's that thing of like, but I like it.
Yeah.
it's fun. Like, do you know, weird comparison. All my friends who are like, I think guns are terrible. You take them to a gun range once, they're like, that was amazing.
That was so much
Let's
fun.
Let's go back again.
It is interesting, though, and we will include this in our show notes if you want to read these letters to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about, and a lot of the ones who are pro are like, yeah, it's just really fun. Why can't I do what's fun? Sue from Crivet says, I live on the largest lake in Mirinic County. Many of our residents have had to put large rocks on their shoreline. The lake clarity declines much more quickly when the wake boats get in the water. Our lake is widely used by people who do not live there.
Yeah.
So we are highly susceptible to invasive species. Another guy, Bruce, on Turtle Lake, we've lost 3 feet of shoreline because of wake boats.
And that right there is dangerous for homes that are on the shoreline.
Absolutely.
Eventually, like, that shoreline is going to erode to the point where your house can just dump into the lake. And that is a fact. I learned that in a class in college because I learned things. And I just, maybe not. Okay. If the lake is of a certain size, it just makes sense to ban these boats or ban the activity itself. If you're in a huge lake, maybe there's something that can be done, or you can go to a different lake that allows it and it's less invasive. But yeah, if you're going to a small lake, why would you go in there and purposely try to cause harm to the environment?
Well, but I don't think they're not looking at it like we're causing harm to the environment. They're looking like Lawrence on Lake Beulah, who says, wake enhanced boating has provided us hours of entertainment and enjoyment for me and my family.
But she's also writing that letter after knowing now that it does. She's responding to the question, essentially. So she knows that there is an ecological impact.
But my boat doesn't do that.
My boat's special.
Exactly.
It's from Illinois.
My boat doesn't cause environmental damage. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Are you saying there's trade-offs to having fun sometimes, occasionally? I'm learning this for the first time.
Yes.
It's very anti-American, I want to say, to say like, hey, do I have to give up something of mine so other things can thrive? Whoa, what?
There was a May 28th closed-door meeting held by Mary Felskowski, president of the Senate, and also the representative of a district with lots of lakes and lots of constituents worried about this wake-enhanced boating. That meeting included Felskowski, Representatives Tyler August, Rob Swearingen, Robin Voss, Senators Cindy Ducow, Rachel Cabrera-Guevara, and also lobbyists for the boating industry.
Of course.
And Lakes at Stake, Wisconsin. So Felskowski says the meeting brought together stakeholders from all sides of the wake boat issue.
I still want to try it out. We're at the appropriate lake where it's not going to be, you know, damaging to any beaches or shorelines or clarity of the water or anything. I want to try it out. I'll probably like tear my ACL or something like that, but I want to try it out.
And like, this whole segment is just to be named Dan Wants to Go on a Boat.
Let's have
I do want to go on a boat.
Let's make boat friends.
that's
the segment. Let's make boat friends.
Yeah,
you got your podcast headline there, Greg.
There you go.
current state law does allow motorboats, including wake boats, to at least 100 feet from shore. It also allows local units of government to pass more restrictive boating rules. So I don't know, wake boat fans, I think there might be some regulations coming your way. I know, it's just freedom.
Yeah.
But that's the way it goes.
It's true.
That's well, we how, live in a civilized society.
That's how the boat floats? I don't know. That's not something.
That's how the wake boards jump. I don't wakeboard either, okay?
Neither do I.
My typical boating activity is sitting on a pontoon boat drinking too many New Glarus Moonmans. So, you know, that's also a good time.
We can do that.
Okay, after the show, we're all getting in my car. I'm driving up to Lake Wissota, and we're going to just say, Pat, put the boat in the lake.
We're going to commandeer the boat.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to commandeer the pontoon.
This is a science experiment. We're here to find things out. Dan needs to do boating, and he told us you're the closest one that we know.
For journalism.
For journalism, exactly.
Milwaukee Press Club, are you listening?
Exactly. Dan Schaefer is Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-awarding recombobulation area. Subscribe. It's absolutely worth it. Thank you so much, my friend. We will see you later.
Thank you. Be well.
Stay with us. We're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Shrinky Dink Edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before the break, we were talking about the wakeboating issue in Wisconsin and whether or not wakeboats need to have special regulations because of environmental concerns, safety concerns. Yeah. And Kirk from Eau Claire texted in, listening on WCFW. Yes, they do need to be regulated. I have been rocked by a wake boat going back and forth in a narrow channel. These are a look at us boat equipped with a thumping stereo system. Yeah. So they don't go out into the middle of the lake. They need to be somewhere where they can be seen That sounds really obnoxious, Kirk.
I can't believe I didn't come up with this joke until right now, and I needed to hear Dan to laugh at it because it's very funny. But you get a guy like regulation coming in, they'd be like, "Hey, I'm here to wake boat, not to woke boat." Thank you. I'm here all weekend.
I could go on a shirt.
Come to the Laughing Tap. We're here all weekend.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Kirk, for sending that in. And yeah, we'll see what happens with this and who's going to win out. I feel for the folks who are seeing their shorelines erode.
Yeah, that's not what they...
That is not a good thing.
That is a definite problem.
It is a problem. Hey, coming up after 11 o'clock, be listening for Greg and I to give you the keyword.
Yeah, right.
It is our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Text to Win contest. After 11 o'clock, you will hear the keyword. You want to text that in via the Civic Media app only. Mm-hmm. And spelling is important, so make sure you get the keyword correct. You're going to be in the running for either $100 in cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. And everyone who enters, whether you win or not, will be in the running for a grand prize, a nice little summer vacation, including gas to get there. Mm-hmm. Shannon in Baraboo was a winner. You could be too.
Nice. I can't be a winner.
You cannot. Nah. That's coming up after 11 o'clock, all next week as well, in the 7, 11, 2, and 4 p.m. hours. Calvin, it's getting late. 10:55. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the BBC. Matt Taylor, the lucky reporter with the byline. The headline reads... Scientists create world's smallest violin. Physicists at Loughborough University have created the world's smallest violin using nanotechnology.
Oh, man, like Iron Man.
They say work on the violin smaller than the width of a human hair.
Small.
Really, really, really little violin.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Smaller than the width of a human hair will help with research into a whole bunch of things, from improving computer efficiency to finding new ways to harvest energy. Professor Kelly Morrison, head of the university's physics department, says, quote, "A lot of what we've learned in the process has actually laid the groundwork for the research we're now undertaking," unquote.
What's powering this satellite? A billion nano violins.
They're really fast.
Very tiny, tiny.
Really, really fast.
It's working on the tiny wind power of those strings.
The violin measures 35 microns long, 13 microns wide. A micron is 1/1,000,000th of a meter.
Why are you using such a tiny measurement against such a larger, like...
A human hair ranges from 17 to 180 microns in diameter for comparison. This was created to test the capabilities of the university's new nanolithography system, which allows...
You nailed that in one shot.
Thank you, and I didn't even practice. Which allows researchers to build and study tiny structures. Nanolithography allows us to design experiments to probe materials in different ways, using light, magnetism, or electricity, and observe their responses. Once we understand how the materials behave, we start applying that knowledge to develop new technologies.
So when you're sitting there listening to a buddy complain about something that shouldn't be complained about, you can simply say, "I'm playing the world's smallest violin." And they'll be like, "Oh, funny." I'll be like, "No, do you know how small it is? It's like less than the width of a hair." And he'll be like, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "I heard it on a radio show."
Just write it down. 13 microns 13, long, mm-hmm. 13 microns wide.
There you go.
Drop that at a cocktail party, huh?
You will be asked not to return.
That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up on Monday, Matt Randolph. Mr. Global will be here.
Senior Global is back?
Yes, Mr. Global will be back Monday after the 9:30 news. Also, State Representative Christian Phelps is going to be joining us, so I hope you can join us coming up on Monday. Busy week next week. Todd Alba will be with us. Also, I'm really excited about this. Brad Sturmer is a principal at a school in Wisconsin that has seen their math scores go up.
That's fantastic.
So I'm going to learn how to math.
It's about time.
Next week. Yes, right. It probably is about time. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. We got news coming up next. So keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Kilmar Abrego Garcia has been returned to the U.S. from El Salvador, where he was wrongly deported to in March. But CBS's Erica Brown says he's now facing federal migrant smuggling charges.
In an indictment unsealed Friday, the Justice Department charged Kilmar Abrego Garcia with one count of conspiracy to transport aliens and one count of unlawful transportation of undocumented aliens, part of what they say was a years-long MS-13 trafficking ring. Lawyers for Abrego Garcia spoke shortly after the charges were announced.
First of all, he's not going to be convicted of these crimes. There's no way a jury is going to see the evidence and agree that, this sheet metal worker is the leader of an international MS-13 smuggling conspiracy.
Abrego Garcia appeared in a federal court in Nashville tonight. A small-town Arkansas police chief turned murderer has been recaptured.